Good morning, and welcome to our service. You know, every time we gather together to hear and study and meditate upon God's Word, we're in a sense sitting at the feet of Jesus to learn of Him. And in our sermon study today, we're going to hear about a Christian woman who took advantage of that opportunity to sit at the feet of Jesus and be blessed by Him. We begin our service with a prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, You have made Your light shine in this world of darkness when Your Son, Jesus Christ, was born into this world to save us. May You enlighten our hearts by Your word of grace as we come before You in worship and praise. Fill our hearts with Your love and grace and give us the confidence of Your continued presence. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our service continues with the opening hymn, Blessed Jesus, at Your Word. Please note that the singing of the fourth stanza, please rise at that point. Please rise. We are already risen. We continue with our service in the bottom of page 2. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. We join in making confession of our sins. O most merciful God, I confess to you with a sorrowful heart all my sins. I have sinned against you in what I have thought, said, and done. Have mercy upon me, I pray, and forgive me for Jesus' sake. Send your Holy Spirit to help me know your holy will and willingly obey it in the spirit of Christian love and thankfulness. Preserve me in the Christian faith so that I finally enter the eternal life in heaven through our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us, for he delivered up Jesus on the cross for our offenses and raised him again for our justification. Since the Lord gave the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the Christian church, saying that whoever sins you forgive in his stead, they are forgiven. Therefore, according to Jesus' command, as a called servant of God, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Pray. O Lord God, your word is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Help your called servants to faithfully proclaim your word. Guide our footsteps by your word, so that we may remain steadfast in faith, love you with all our heart, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading is taken from the Old Testament book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 1 to 10. And we find that the Lord had sent some very special messengers to Abram and Sarah to let them know that Sarah would give birth to a son of promise, because this son would be in a long line from which Jesus would finally come. Now, this was kind of hard at first to see how this could happen, because Sarah was beyond the age of childbirth. With God, with man it's impossible, with God all things are possible. Then the Lord appeared to him, that is to Abraham, by the terebinth trees of Mamre, as he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, And behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, Lord, if I have not found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Second reading is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Paul speaks of his ministry to the Colossians. And he spoke of revealing a mystery to them. What's the mystery? It's a gospel. A mystery is something that is hidden until it is finally revealed. Well, Paul revealed to them the gospel, which was once a mystery, that set them free from a slavery to darkness and the ways of the world. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. The mystery, which had been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you and the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect or complete in Christ Jesus. Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. We join in confessing our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, One Thing's Needful. Please stand for the reading of the sermon text. Grace, mercy, and peace be given to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our Heavenly Father. Amen. Those words of God that we consider this morning are taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who blesses us with the one thing needful, dear fellow redeemed. It's that time of year again. Stores have been alerting us to its coming for several weeks now by advertising the back-to-school sales. Students of a wide range of ages from preschool children to postgraduate adults, which can include senior citizens, are preparing to start a new school year. With the approach of schools in this country starting up again, it's very obvious that a majority of our fellow citizens see the importance of having a good education. It's seen as being so very important because it plays a key role in enabling people to become productive citizens. When it comes to this world thinking, very often earthlings stress getting the kind of education that will enable them to get a good paying job so that they can have a comfortable life and to enjoy the best things that this world has to offer. Now, there's nothing wrong with this, not at all. But there's a problem And when they're thinking of this, that they're only thinking about themselves. And they're not thinking about how God gives people different gifts and abilities that he wants them to use for the benefit of others and to use their resources for the advancement of his kingdom. An area of education many fail to recognize as having an even greater importance than receiving a secular education is that of gaining knowledge and understanding concerning the spiritual truths of God. This kind of education not only prepares us for a higher plane of living, it prepares us for life everlasting in heaven. So tell me, what is a more important education? The one that's just going to help you for a temporal life or for eternal life? With this in mind, we'd be remiss when, in speaking of the start of a new school year, if we didn't mention the importance of teaching our children Bible truths, as well as having adult Bible study. With Pastor Udy having accepted this call to serve as our next pastor, I look forward to being able to resume having Bible study and discussions. Earlier, I mentioned that you might even find senior citizens attending schools. Certainly, we never are too old to learn. And when it comes to the teachings of our Lord found in the Holy Scriptures, we'll never reach the point where we know it all, where we have complete and total understanding of everything that's revealed in Scripture. And if a pastor is honest with you, he'd say the same for himself. And that's one of the reasons why we continue to read and study and discuss the Word of God. In fact, since we have a tendency of forgetting teachings of God's Word, which we've learned as children, there's ever and again the need to relearn what we may have forgot or have lost sight of. The brief encounter Jesus had with two sisters, spoken of in our text, can serve as a useful purpose of helping us to keep a proper perspective of things and to remind us to give due attention to the one thing needful, with Jesus in His Word. Well, on their way to the city of Jerusalem, Jesus and His disciples stopped at a little village named Bethany, located about 2 miles away from the city. And as they oftentimes would do when they came into that area, Jesus stopped to visit the family of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. These believers, these Christians, were very near and dear to Jesus. During a short stay there, we find a striking contrast of concern displayed by the two sisters. And we also hear Jesus giving assessment of what each sister considered to be important during his visit there. The different reaction of the sisters to Jesus' visit came into view when we find Martha, on the one hand, busying herself in the kitchen to prepare a fine meal for her honored guests. Whereas, on the other hand, when Mary heard Jesus talking to his disciples of things of a spiritual nature, she decided to join them. Our text reports that she also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. From what we gather in our text, Jesus had in mind to provide spiritual nourishment for those, the family that was living there in that household, to promote spiritual growth in their faith life. For shortly after he arrived, Jesus began to instruct them concerning the teachings of God. Martha had other things on her mind at this time. Having received this honored guest into her house, she thought it was very important that she put on a fine meal for her guests. So, she found it necessary to prepare and to serve a meal, food and drink. And when she became overwhelmed by all the preparation for the many guests, she got upset with her sister for not helping her in the kitchen. Martha came to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Now, hospitality is indeed a fine and praiseworthy thing. But Martha's timing was way off. It would be something like, "Ladies, in the kitchen preparing for a potluck meal, while the rest of the congregation is in the sanctuary listening to God's word and singing and speaking his praises. What's more important? Feeding our bodies? Or the feeding of our souls?" On one occasion when people that Jesus had found gathered all around him, they showed that they were more concerned about feeding their bodies. He said to them, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. For the Son of Man, which the Son of Man will give you." Physical food only sustains our life so long, but spiritual food sustains our soul unto life everlasting. So again, I ask you, what is more important, food for the body or food for the soul? The evangelist Luke speaks of Martha being distracted with much serving. The Greek word, which is translated here as distracted, has the meaning of drawing, pulling, or dragging away. Martha's thoughts of serving her guests had the ill effect of drawing or pulling her away from the marvelous opportunity of learning the teachings of Jesus, which would bless her with God's rich grace and favor. Earlier, I spoke of earthlings having a predominant focus on getting an education so that they can enjoy what this world has to offer. When this way of thinking creeps into our minds and influences us the way we spend a major share of our time, we can very easily preoccupied with earning money, buying merchandise, going places, and being involved in the many activities that the world has to offer, to the extent that we don't give adequate time to sit at the feet of Jesus to learn of him. The cares and concerns of this world can have the detrimental effect of drawing or pulling us away from devoting ourselves to God's word. How often don't we find that which all pressive activities we end up neglecting to take time out of our day for personal Bible reading, studying, sitting down with our children, hearing the word of God, and talking about it with them? Do we get a little bit too busy with the affairs of this world that we don't take sufficient time to listen to what the Lord has to tell us and be blessed by it? You know, when people are so busy and have all kinds of things on their mind, they get all stressed out and they feel like they gotta have some rest and relaxation. Being weary and stressed out, do we also, more importantly, see the need to find rest for our soul and to spiritually recharge our batteries through the use of God's rest-giving, life-sustaining word of grace and mercy? Please do not get so busy in your life that you don't have time for God and his word in your daily life. Not just once a week, but in your daily life. There are times when Christian brethren become so distracted with the cares and concerns of this world that they neglect God's word altogether, to the point that they starve their souls. Whenever we notice this happening to fellow Christians, the word of God exhorts us, saying in the book of Hebrews, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." And the day that he's talking about approaching is Judgment Day. The Lord Jesus sits Martha's sister Mary before us as a prime example who made a good choice in the use of her time on this occasion. Jesus said to Martha in reply to her request to tell Mary to come out and help her in the kitchen, Jesus said to Martha, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." With this commendation of Mary, you can see that Jesus makes it clear that when Mary chose to sit and listen to Jesus rather than work out in the kitchen, Mary was not being lazy or neglecting to do her duty or selfish. No, not at all. Jesus rather reveals concerning Mary that she had her priorities in order. When Jesus came teaching the word of God, and Mary came and sit to listen to him, she was showing that to receive nourishment for the soul is of chief most importance, and it should come before the temporal needs of the body. She was putting into practice what Jesus said for us to do. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And he says, all that other stuff, I'll take care of it. You'll be provided for. The things you need, I'll bless you with. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's more important than anything that this world has to offer us. There's not very much more that's said about Mary here, about other than sitting and listening to Jesus. Yet it would be safe to say that Mary was like a flower that was turning toward the radiant sunlight of Jesus to absorb the warmth, the soothing, life-giving rays of Jesus' gracious teachings. And so what Jesus was teaching this gathering of believers, our text doesn't say. Since Jesus knows the mind of man, we would expect that Jesus helped Mary and the other disciples to grow in their knowledge and understanding of the spiritual truths of God. He may well have been concerned about focusing their attention on things that they had not remembered or kept in mind. One Bible passage comes to mind when it comes to the matter of what we should set our sights on. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. What are you setting your sights on every single day of your life? Is it a downward look simply to the things of this life? Or is it an upward look to the things of God, our life with Him and our future with Him? Another Bible passage that comes to mind where Jesus says to us, do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. We lay up for ourselves priceless and imperishable treasures in heaven by listening to the words and teachings of our Savior Jesus and by accepting them by faith. A very special and most important teaching that Jesus most likely spoke of is the message of God's merciful act of forgiving us of all our sins and giving us the promise of an eternal inheritance, a wonderful place of living because of Jesus' redemptive work on the cross. This good news was repeated by Jesus to his disciples and others time and again. And so also because of our sinful condition, we are certainly in need of being reminded and reassured again and again and again of God's pardoning love through our Savior Jesus. One final word that we know for sure that Jesus said to Mary, and that is that good part that she's chosen will not be taken away from her. What Jesus promises in these words cannot be said of any temporal thing that we acquire and possess. That shiny car will eventually wear out. The money we gain, here today, gone tomorrow. Our physical health is on a continual, steady decline. When you're younger, you don't think about this. But as you're older, you certainly do, because you can see the effects. We are gradually getting older, and it has an effect upon us. Temporal joys and pleasures, they're short-lived. However, the wonderful treasures we acquire through the Word of God are priceless, perfect in every way, and everlasting, so that they ever are a source of lasting peace, joy and contentment. set your mind on things above. And store up for yourselves treasures in heaven by taking time to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of him by your private Bible readings and study, sitting down with the family to have family devotions, as well as gathering together with fellow Christians in God's house to hear his word and study it with our fellow believers and discuss it in Bible study. In the area of Christian education, we never graduate from it, but ever need to continue to study and grow in the word of our Lord. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. In addition to our general prayer, we have two additional prayer requests. One is for Terry Bliss. She has been hospitalized and she is presently in ICU, and she is in a very critical condition concerning her health. They're trying to stabilize her so that as her health improves, she'll be able to have back surgery. We also want to offer up a prayer for Ida Drews, who underwent eye surgery to help correct glaucoma. Unfortunately, it didn't have the desired effect. She can only see an outline of people with her bad eye. So we remember these two fellow Christians in our prayers this morning. O Lord God, our refuge and strength, who is an ever-present help in trouble, mercifully remember the needs of Terry and take her into your loving care. Give knowledge and skill to the physicians and surgeons attending to her, and bless her with health and healings through their treatment. Give to all who have her under their care an understanding of and a compassion for Terry's needs. If it be your will, lend her speedy healing and complete recovery from her surgery and health problems. Daily renew and increase her physical strength and comfort also her spirit, forgiving all her sins, increasing her faith, and removing from her hearts any doubt that she may have. Help her to meet without fear and to accept without complaining all the hardships and pain which in your wisdom you might yet consider it well for her to bear. All these things we pray for Terry in Jesus' name. We also pray for Ida Drews, who is recovering health-wise as far as her surgery of her eyes. Help Ida to accept the fact that the surgery did not result in what she had hoped for. We pray that the healing will continue and that you will guard her health from suffering any kind of affection that could cause even greater problems for her. We pray, Lord, that her other eye will serve her so that she can see those that she is speaking to, as well as join you, join fellow Christians in worshiping you in your house of worship. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, once again we have enjoyed the privilege of sitting at the feet of Jesus to hear his word, to learn of him. May his message through Jesus stir up our heart to faith and love and produce the full fruits of good works in our lives. May we not forget your word, which we've heard, or bring shame upon it by our lips speaking against it, our hearts not believing it, or our lives not obeying it. Keep your word in the minds and hearts of our loved ones not present with us this day, and return them soon to fellowship with us. Through the Spirit, open the scriptures more and more to our understanding, that we might know you better, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent to save us. Father, we greatly need the comfort of your word that it brings. We're by nature sinful, and our flesh is continually opposed to your will. We often find that we act against your commandments, doing the very things you forbid, and neglecting the things that you command. We justly deserve your punishment, but we plead your love and mercy, which is revealed to the whole world of sinners in your word. Oh, let the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, blot out our sins from your memory and present us faultless before you. Our only plea is that you forgive us for his sake. Therefore, nothing that we desire more than eternal life through his merits and mediation. That is our ultimate hope and desire that we pray that you'll bless us with. Father, from your word we know that your heavenly throne is a throne of grace, and that Jesus, our Savior, intercedes for us there. To it we come burdened with our worries, cares, and needs, our sorrows, troubles, and illnesses. Fold us to your bosom, and by your counsel and aid, relieve us of our many burdens according to your will. We know you are a God so gracious and merciful, so near us when we pray, and so quick to respond to our pleas. Why then should we be fearful or anxious about our future? Oh, Father, according to your own promise, bless us now and always for Jesus' sake, in whose name we also pray that prayer which he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the singing of the next hymn, O Word of God Incarnate. We stand. We continue with the responsive reading that's found on the top of page 10. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. To declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Receive with believing heart the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please remain standing for the singing of the final hymn. Good morning. Please be seated. Some notes from the bulletin. The church council will be meeting after the service today. Our brethren in Southern California will be gathering for worship and Bible study this evening at 6:30. Next Sunday, the congregation has been so good to help me observe the 50th anniversary of my ordination with a special service with Pastor Drew Nauman, serving as our guest preacher, and the ladies are planning a luncheon after that. There's some notes in here about getting to know our new pastor and family. This is from his bio. Also, please note that there's a Lutheran spokesman on the table in the narthex that has an article by Pastor Udy about his congregation in Appleton, and he is pictured there for you, so we can see what he looks like. And I have this additional note to read for you. This message came from Pastor Udy this morning. Pastor Udy writes, "Here are the tentative plans Rachel and I have worked up so far this week on our side. I'm going to talk about this with the council here this week, but I wanted to keep you abreast. The early school year start out there is making us desirous of getting our daughters out there sooner rather than later, so they won't miss much school in a new school. My sister Mandy volunteered to go out a bit earlier with them to facilitate that. If it is okay, the plan would then be for her to come out with the girls on the 24th or 25th of August, stay in the parsonage, bring some air mattress or something, get them in school. Meanwhile, that week, Rachel and I would be finishing packing, cleaning, etc., and getting ready to move. We would be leaving soon or soon after Labor Day and be out there that week leading up to the 7th of September. Installation could then be on the 7th or, if preferable for any reason, on the 14th of September. So the time is fast approaching for them to move out here. And I know there's still things to be done at the parsonage to get them ready, get the parsonage ready for them. So may the Lord bless the effort of working on the parsonage to get that ready for them and bless their move out here. And may God in His grace be with you always.